I do want to thank the pastor for the opportunity that he's given me to be here and to speak to you. I want to share some things with you that I know that at my stage of life, I may never get back again. You know, when you get 81, you think, not much time out there maybe. But you never know. I just told the Lord, I want to go to Mount Nebo. If Moses can be there when he was 120, I just figured if I can make it to 120, I want to be there at the same place. So I'm looking forward to that. And it's good to see y'all. This is my wife, Betty. We've been married going on, pretty soon it'll be 63 years. I was only 5 when we got married. No, but God has been good to us. It's interesting when everybody stands and they sing. I have to be careful. See, about 3.5 years ago, it was in February, they had to cut my throat. People had threatened to cut it for a long time. But they cut my throat and moved this all aside and went in there and put in a little metal plate and some screws. So I can say I probably got a loose screw. But my right arm was paralyzed when it was over with, and I couldn't sing. But the people in the church didn't mind that at all. It's just that I couldn't raise my hand. I could only go like that. And so it took about 5 months. I was able to lose me. I still can't sing. I couldn't sing before, but I still can't sing now. But God's been good to me and given me a wonderful, wonderful life. And we've been on the road just recently, a couple of weeks. But I'll get back to Tampa probably sometime the end of September. So we'll be traveling around the United States. And anyway, we have a good time. We got to do it while we're young, because when we get old, we won't be able to do it. I love a little humor along the way, a little. And I enjoy talking to people. I realized that there was a time when I was shy to get up in front of anybody and talk, but I had to get over that, And so here I am. I want you to know right off the bat, I know I have eternal life. I know that I'm going to heaven when I die. And the message that I would like to present you today is one that has helped me more than any one sermon that I've ever put together in my life. Because it not only tells how to be sure of going to heaven, but why, as a Christian, you do what you do. So to start with, I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians. And look there in chapter 5 and look in verse 19. I'll have to admit, there's a few verses in the Bible that caused me an awful lot of problems. I didn't have all the answers. I haven't got them all now, but I got more than I had then. So in verse 19, look what he says. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, such like, of the which I tell you before, as I told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now that's enough to scare you half to death if you're guilty of envying or hating. Ooh, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, I have to admit, I didn't understand what those verses meant. It caused me an awful lot of problems. But what I want to do is show you how easy it is to understand these scriptures that seems to be a problem if you get the right foundation and the right perspective to look at them. So if you will, up there on the screen, you have the gospel of perfection. In other words, the good news that we tell somebody that's lost is supposed to be the good news about how they can go to heaven. And a person may trust Christ as Savior and within minutes could die. Are they good to go? So something has to take place that makes you perfect in God's eyes. So when we realize that the Eternal salvation must be a perfect salvation. In the book of Timothy, it talks about it, a glorious gospel. A glorious gospel means a perfect message. That's one of the reasons that I like going to all the world and preaching the gospel. I got a perfect message for everybody. And I know that I can look at people and tell them without batting an eye, without being ashamed, God really loves you. Because if I didn't believe God loved everybody, then how do I know God loved me? If I don't believe Christ paid for the sins of everybody, how do I know he paid for mine? So when you believe that he did it for everybody, then you have a better understanding and can accept some of the things that God has to say. Because the Bible teaches us that man is going to stand in judgment on God. It's amazing how we do it without even knowing it. We often say, God, that's not right. Well, Lord, if you really love me, you wouldn't have let that happen to me. And you sometimes don't pray because it's not going to change anything anyway. Now, I know you don't come out and say that, but you'll think it. So there are some things that we need to think about. So Hebrews says that God says that Jesus Christ was made perfect, became the author of eternal salvation. So the salvation that he has, if it's eternal salvation, it has to be a perfect salvation. And that's why if we have eternal life, we have a perfect life. It can't end. That which is perfect cannot have an ending to it. It lasts forever. God is perfect. It means he's not going to die tomorrow. You don't have to worry about it. So when we look at these things, realize if perfection was by keeping the law, well, that would be one thing, but see, God never said he gave the law for a man to be saved. He says if a man keep the whole law and offend in one point, he's guilty of all of them. You see, if like there's 10 links in a chain and you're hanging over a cliff and you're hanging on that last link in the chain. Now think, this is a very difficult question. How many links would have to break before you fall? Duh. Does it matter which one? It doesn't matter. Well, I never drank, and I never smoked, and I never chewed, and I never went with the girls who do. Well, God bless your little pea-picking heart. But the Bible says you have to be perfect to go to heaven. And the law was never given to save us. It was given to show us that we can't save ourselves, and the law pointed us to someone who can, which was Jesus Christ. Therefore, perfection, whereby the Levitical priesthood, it says, what further need was there for another priest? If you could get to be perfect by keeping the law, then that's the way it should be. Yeah, that's the way it should be. But righteousness can't come that way. Because if righteousness can come by your deeds, then Christ is dead in vain. Why did he die? He died because man cannot save himself. Man can't live a perfect life. Just because you married that little angel that you thought, she's perfect. You found out differently, didn't you? But we'll move right along. Who is made after the law of a carnal life, after the power of an endless life. The one who gave us this eternal life is the one that has an endless life. So if he can save me today with all my wickedness, he can keep me saved tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day and forever. True? If he's God. If you're saved by grace, why can't he keep me saved by grace? I didn't get saved because I deserve it. Why would I have to deserve it to keep it? If none of my good works, which were righteous, filthy rags, if I can't get saved by my filthy rags, why would I want to use my filthy rags as a proof that I'm really saved? Anyway, the law made nothing perfect, but it's evident that something else did. In other words, what the law could not do, what Jesus Christ did for us can solve the problem. Because since man cannot save himself and make himself perfect, there is a way. There is a way. The law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. You ever wonder what that might be? Well, it was a payment that Christ made. It says in Hebrews, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to this conscience. You see, they had these high priests that had to go into the temple once a year, and well, it didn't make them perfect. And so he can't make the people that he did it for perfect. And it did nothing for the conscience, because you still know you're a sinner. And you knew that they had to do it again next year. Because you see, they had to keep doing it over and over. How many times they had to make those sacrifices? All the time. Well, see, that's like people today that are trying to keep themselves saved by trying to, well, I go to church week after week after week, and I do all these good deeds, and I give money week after week. You have to do it. If you're going to save yourself by the law, by your works, you have to do it perfectly from the day you're born to the day you die. How you doing? You ain't doing so good, are you? Let me talk to your wife and I'll tell you. An eternal redemption, eternal spirit, eternal inheritance are eternal because they're perfect. You and I see we're going to die because we're not perfect. We have a sinful nature. We sin naturally. But there is an eternal redemption when you accept Christ. That means a payment that he made was one payment that's forever. He never has to make it again. He made one payment. It's not like going to the, you know, to the car lot and getting yourself a brand new car, and now you got to make payments to the bank to keep it. He paid the whole price. I don't have any payments to make. None whatsoever, and I like that. Now, the law failed to make the comers perfect, but the gospel does. And so that's why he says, going to all over and preach the gospel to every creature, because the gospel can make a lost man perfect, good to go, good enough to go to heaven. You see, if Christ walked into this room right now and gave you, offered you his robe of righteousness, and gave you his righteousness that make you as righteous as God. So when God looks for you, he can't find you because you see, you have on the robe of righteousness given to you by Christ. That's why he makes a statement, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. God has a righteousness he wants to give you because yours isn't any good. Mine's no good. I'll never be good enough. I'll never be righteous enough. I'll never be perfect. But what if he gave me his? I'd go to heaven on his. That's what he does. That's why you'll be able to be good enough to go. The perfect payment by the perfect Son of God makes those that are sanctified, pure and holy, sanctified, perfect forever. See, when you trusted Christ as your Savior, you were made pure and holy. That means you're good to go. You have eternal life. In God's eyes, you don't have any sins to pay for. You see, when God forgives you of all of your sins, eternal security is because all sin is forgiven. If all my sins have been forgiven, there's no sin to condemn me. I'm going to heaven because of what Christ did for me. So, he says, by the which well, we're sanctified through the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. He only had to make one payment for my sins. Not two, just one. Because when he died 2,000 years ago, he paid for all the sins before the cross and all the sins after the cross. They were saved looking forward to the cross. We're saved looking back to the cross. But we're all saved by putting our faith in what Christ did for us. He redeems us. But this meant after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, he sat down because the work was done. The payment's been made. There's no more payment to be made for my sins. If I sin today, and I probably will, I don't have him coming back to pay for my sins that I did since the cross. It doesn't happen that way. One payment forever. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are saved. So somebody, them, is somebody that's saved. Somebody that accepted that sacrifice. So that somebody, whoever did that, is perfected for how long? Forever. See, that's why once you trust Christ as your Savior and he gives you eternal life, how long is eternal life supposed to last? Now, I know it's a hard question. It lasts forever. If it lasts forever and all my sins are paid, where am I going to go when I die? I get to go to heaven. And that's why it's such a good news. You see, the only way to know you have eternal life is to know that God has made you perfect. That's how I know I'm going to heaven. Because you say, what does a perfect person look like? Look up here real quick. Some of you, it seemed like a wave of doubt swept across the room. You see, I'm perfect in Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, which is the righteousness of God by faith. And it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he says, makes the statement. He said, for he who knew no sin, Christ, was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So God gives me his righteousness. And that's how I know I'm going to heaven and I'm good enough. Not because of anything that is, but by grace, he gave me his. He took my sins. Now, you see anything wrong with this plan? I love the plan, because without it, there is none. There is no hope. He says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So can you know you have eternal life? Well, of course. Who's it written to? Those that believe. So when you believe it, you have eternal life. Means that you have something that lasts forever, and he can't take it away from you. Let me show you just a simple illustration. This is God. This is where most people think. They think if they go to church, get some money, get a good grip, where are you going to? I'm going to heaven. I'm hanging in here. And if I do all these good deeds, I hang in, I'm being faithful, and I'm doing the best I can, and then some good-looking blonde bombshell walked by. Ow! Think, man, I almost thought I died. I'd go to hell there. And they think they can lose their salvation. Then they got to get right with God again. That's not the Bible. That's religion. That means you're going to heaven depends on how strong you are, how good you are. If you hang in there, depends on you. Can you really know you're going? Well, I'm trying to make it. Where are you going to go today? Well, in hell if I don't change. They don't get it. See, he said, if I trust him, he would save me. See the difference? My going to heaven depends upon him keeping his word. Has nothing to do. I don't make promises of anything. I don't stop something, join something, give something. Lord, I'm a sinner. Christ paid for my sins, and I believe it. God says, good to go. And he says, he'd take me to heaven. He says, John 6:37-39, I'll never cast you out. He said, and I'll never lose you. In John 10:28, he said, and no man can pluck you out of my hand. Because, see, I'm going to heaven because of he's strong enough to keep me. He saved me, and he keeps me saved. And I go to heaven. Now, if you don't understand that, you're not going to get anything. Even children can get that because it's simple. It's the gift of God. So, you see, when you believe you have eternal life, now get this. This is a picture of our first birth. What I see as I look out here is the first birth. You have a flesh birth. Now, the flesh birth, understand how God describes it. So I'm going to describe you so you'll know what you're like, but it's from the Bible, so it's God telling you. So don't get mad at me. I'm just, somebody said, you're not the judge. I'm not the judge. I'm just telling you what the judge said. The judge says there's none righteous, no, not. I'm sorry, that includes you. None that understandeth, they're all gone out of the way. Remember in the Old Testament it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Gone. None that doeth good, no, not one, because there's not one. So nobody has ever lived good enough to go to heaven. Nobody. So how are you going to get there? Hang in there. Here's what God says. He says, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Here's God, and here we are, and we've come short of God's perfection. So man can't save himself. So the wages of sin is death. That's why everybody who sins is going to die. When you were born into this world, you had a flesh birth. This is your flesh birth. Flesh birth, God says, none good, not one. Because of none good, not one, we all sin. Because we all sin, we're all going to die. That's the story of every person born into the world. And so he says, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there is a way to have eternal life. And this is why God says something we all need to know. But look what it says in Romans chapter 9 and verse 8. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. Look up here. These are not the children of God. When you're born into this world, God may be your God and your creator, but he's not your father. You're not his child, because you have to be born in God's family to be his child. We're born into the world. We're born of the flesh. My mom and dad had a sinful nature, and they gave it to me. And I've had three children since then. Well, Betty did. And three children, and she gave them that same sinful nature. I wouldn't have done it, but she did it. I'm joking. So he said, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So this one here, he's not the child of God, so he can inherit the kingdom of God. And that's why he can't go. Because, see, heaven is a perfect place, and none of us are. That's why God says you have to be born again. You see, if you were born into this world 1,000 times, well, the last birth would not be any better than the first one. Because you'd still be a sinner. Because you came from a corruptible seed. And that's why we do what we do. We need to be born into this world again. Be born again without a sinful nature. Wouldn't it have been great if I'd have been born in this world without a sinful nature? I could have looked at all the rest of y'all and says, nah, 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 nah. I'm better than you. But I wasn't. I was born with a sinful nature. I know you don't believe that, but I was. Now, up here, he says in John 3:16, Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And Jesus says, I'm impressed. No, he looked at Nicodemus and says, you must be born again. And he said, or you can't see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. You can't enter the kingdom of God. So unless you're born again, you cannot see it and you cannot enter the kingdom of God. He's talking about having another birth. Even Nicodemus says, you mean I got to get back in my mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus says, no, nuthead. He says, you're a ruler in Israel and you don't understand these things? And yet there's people who go to church all their life and they don't understand these things. But you have to be born again. You must. No exceptions. So that's why he says, you cannot enter the kingdom or you cannot see the kingdom of God. So you can't go. Now, there is a solution. In John chapter 3, he says, flesh is flesh, spirit is spirit. You must be born again. Now look up here. We've already had our flesh birth. There it is. When I trusted Christ as my Savior, God gave me a new birth. This is my spiritual birth. The only thing is that you can't see my spiritual birth. You can see my flesh birth, like I told him this morning. Whenever you got up this morning and you went and looked in the mirror and you saw, you were ugly. You came to church this morning and you heard the gospel. Maybe you say you trusted Christ as Savior. You go back home, look in the mirror again. You're still ugly. Because see, God did not change the flesh. He didn't do anything with your physical body. He didn't do anything with your first birth. What he did was give you a new birth. This one is born of God. If it's born of God, does God have a sinful nature? No. So if he's born of God, he doesn't have a sinful nature. If it has no sinful nature, it can't sin. If it can't sin, it can't die. If it can't die, how long would it live? That's my second birth. Well, when did I get it? The day I trusted Christ as my Savior. I didn't feel it. I didn't have a Holy Ghost fit. I didn't jump, shout, hoot, and holler and click my heels together. No chills run up and down my spine. I kissed Betty one time, I got chills up and down my spine. Her popsicle was dripping. But this is our spiritual birth. And this one here can't sin, can't die. And that's why Jesus says you must be born again, born from above. And so whenever you do that, then God gives you eternal life and you can know that you're going to heaven. You see that verse, Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. Not of yourselves means it's not this one producing this one. This one can't produce this one. Something incorruptible cannot come from something that is corruptible. This came from a corruptible seed, so it cannot give birth to incorruption. Impossible. So the Bible says that It is the gift of God, not of works. That means it's not of the flesh. It means it, there's nothing you can do to produce this birth. It comes from God. So the flesh can't deliver you, can't save you. Don't put your confidence in the flesh, because look what I do. So you can go to church and read your Bible and pray and do all those things, but that will not get you to heaven. It will not produce the new birth. So how do I get this new birth? Well, it's about time you asked. You see there in verse 11, chapter 11, verse 6, it says, if by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is not grace. If it's of your works, then it's not grace. Otherwise, work isn't work. In other words, you're either saved by works or by grace, but you can't be saved both ways. In other words, it's either something that's you earn or something that's free. God says salvation, going to heaven, is free. It's the gift of God. You don't earn it. You don't work for it. And the first birth can't give it to you. So that's why he says in John 1, 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the right, the authority to become the sons of God. So that day, a long time ago, in a little old living room in Athens, Georgia, I heard the gospel and I trusted Christ as my Savior. That day, I was born into God's family because I received Christ as my Savior. He was the payment for my sins. He paid for my sin. He was my payment. So when he come back from the dead, see, Jesus Christ had the stamp in his hands and in his feet. See, that means that he was my living proof of payment. He was my receipt. You ever go to the store and buy something, they give you a receipt? Give you a receipt? Give you... Well, Jesus is my receipt, paid in full. And it, my receipt is good forever. Betty had somebody give her one of those gift cards. We go to take and see if it's going to cover for the price of what we just ate and find out, hey, we got our dollar left. Well, that's not the way it is with the Lord. It's good from now on, paid in full. So that's when you trust Christ as your Savior. Now get this. 1 Peter chapter 1, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So when you hear from the word of God, how that you can believe on Christ and God will give you eternal life. Why can he give you eternal life? Because he is eternal life. In 1 John chapter 5, this is the true God and eternal life. And he says, I'll never leave you and never forsake you. So how long will I have eternal life? Forever. And he gives me this free gift of everlasting life. And all I had to do is trust him. Now this old flesh, this body of mine is going to die. But the word of the Lord endures for how long? Forever. And I was born into God's family by the incorruptible word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So how long is my new birth going to last? Forever. And that was some mighty good news. In 1 John chapter 3, I didn't like this verse when I first saw it. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Are you born of God? Yes, I am. Do you still sin? Yes, I do. Then you're not saved. Man told me that one day. Man, did I get in an argument with him. Because I knew that I was born again. And I knew also that I was still sinning. And he says, then you're not saved. I wish I'd have understood that verse. There's two Greek words, prazo and poeo. One means you practice, and habitually commit, and one can't commit a sin. Look up here. This, habitually practice, commit. I've never seen anybody practice sin. I've just seen, as far as I'm concerned, they're all professionals at it. And over here, this one can't commit one single act of sin. Why? Because it came from God. This one comes from an incorruptible seed. Means it can't be corrupted. Impossible. Can't sin, can't die. So when he says, whosoever is born of God, well, which one of these is born of God? Remember, I've been born twice. This one is born of God. This one cannot commit sin. Seed remaining in it cannot sin because born of God. He said, well, he won't practice sin. That's not what it says. That's a different word altogether. So you see, this one can do everything. It's ungodly. This one is divine. Comes from God. And that's why it's so important to know this. When you were lost, you were seen by God as in the flesh. When you were saved, you're seen by God as in the spirit. So he says, "If, but be ye not in the flesh, but in the spirit." You're not in the flesh, you're in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So one is in the flesh, one is in the spirit. And if you trusted Christ as Savior, this is how God now sees you. This is your position in Christ. And in this position, it never can change. God can't alter it. God did not do anything with your first birth. It's still as sinful and as wicked as it's always been. That's why it's still possible for you to bring forth the works of the flesh that we read just a moment ago. All those bad sins, every person sitting in this room, you're capable of them because you still got this old body. You still got that old sinful nature. That's why you can still get mad and angry and upset and filled with envy and jealousy and bitterness. Ain't I telling you the truth? You said, no, not me. Yes, you. All in the same boat. So the Bible says, as I've told you before, as I told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, the flesh does not inherit the kingdom of God. This one is the child of God. This one inherits the kingdom of God. So that's why he says, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, because you still got the lust of the flesh. You still have those same sinful desires you've always had. And so God wants you to have some victory in your life. And victory comes because you're able to say no to the flesh. And don't let the flesh dominate your life. Read Romans chapter 6. That's what it's talking about. And you can follow these two names all the way through it. I told him earlier, picture down here. There's a boxing ring down here. And over here in this corner is Mike Tyson. You ever heard of Mike Tyson? He's a big bad dude, but he can box. He eats ears for breakfast. Over here's a great big old boxing ring. And here's Mike Tyson. Now, who is Mike Tyson? That's this old man. That's him. You see, this body of mine, that's the boxing ring. When I trusted Christ as my Savior, I was a babe in the Lord, a little child of God. And he put me into this boxing ring with Mike Tyson and says, have fun. He says, I want you to have a victorious Christian life. And don't let that old Mike Tyson dominate you. I said, what? And he said, now I'm also going to give you the Holy Spirit. And so who else gets in that room between me and Mike Tyson? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, he said, now if you'll listen to me and walk with me and let me teach you and guide you, I can teach you how to handle Mike Tyson. Because if you don't, he's going to dominate your life. And many Christians do not have a successful Christian life. They're God's child, but they're always back and forth. And it's a fist fight. And that's why you study the Word of God. And you go to church and meet with good people. And do the things that God wants you to do. And grow strong. But most Christians are so spiritually skinny they can use a Cheerio for a hula hoop. And you want to get strong, so whenever he says, I think I'll have me a Coors. No, you won't. You'll have milk. And you can have some victory. I'm going to go to church today. No, you're not. You're going to stay home and watch Batman. And some of y'all fought that battle even this morning, didn't you? I don't know if I'm going to go to church or not. And some of you have already settled in your mind, I'm going. And others settled in mind, I just don't think I'm going to put up with it today. Honey, don't you think we ought to stay home today? You know, there's a football game coming on. And listen, there's a battle and it's real. And you can have victory or you can have defeat, depending upon what you want to do. But that is your position in the Lord. You have a new creation. You see, this is the one in Corinthians in chapter 5, verse 17. This is a new creation. Old condition is passed away. You're not seen here anymore. It doesn't mean that you don't have those same sinful desires and can do the same thing. That you can. But God sees you as a new creation. This is new. This is old. God wants his children walk in the spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh because you still got them. Same desires to do all the wrong that you shouldn't do. And you know that. But God wants you to have a successful Christian life. Now that you know Christ is your Savior, God wants his children. He said, love me. And if you love me, serve me. You don't serve the Lord to get to heaven. I'm going to heaven because of what Christ did for me. You see, going to heaven was free. But what I have when I get to heaven, well, that depends upon what I do for the Lord while I'm here. And when I leave here, I will stand at what God calls the judgment seat of Christ. It's a rewarding stand where God will reward you for what you did for him. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. But that's not to get to heaven. That's because you're going there and I'm not there yet. So God gives me some time to live. And so it's like, you know, when I stand at the judgment seat of Christ and he shows his plan for me, his plan of my life, he had his way, and I see how I checked him here and I checked him there, and I would not yield my will. Will there be grief in my Savior's eyes? Grief, though he loves me still. He would have me rich, and I stand there poor, stripped of all but his grace, while memory runs like a haunted dream down the paths I cannot retrace. Lord, of the years that are left me, I give them into thy hand to take me and break me, to mold me and make me into the pattern that thou hast planned. You see, God wants to take us and mold us into the way he wants us to be. You're his child. You ought to act like God's child. You ought to think like God's child. If you're a child of the king, use the language of the court. Learn the word of God and use the word of God. Stand for that which is right. Don't let this old sinful nature control your life. Don't let him ruin your testimony, because it won't take much to do so. It wouldn't take me that long to ruin a testimony that's taken me 62 years to build. And I can throw it all away just because of the lust of the flesh or something. Look up here. I know you've never seen this before. I do it everywhere I go because I want people to know it. This is you and me. This is sin. We all have sin on it. God loves us. And he says, because we are children of the flesh, born into this world with a sinful nature. We all sin. We all going to die. But he says he loves us and wants us to go to heaven. And to go to heaven, you got to be perfect. Nobody's perfect. And by your works, you'll never be perfect. So it was God who had the plan of salvation. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, into this world because he loves us. And he hates our sin because our sin separates us. So Christ took all the sin of all the world, paid for it on the cross, came back from the dead. And all he wanted us to do is the only thing we can do. Believe he did it for us. So when I believe he did it for me, he put that payment to my account, I get to go to heaven. When my wife believed that he did it for her, she believed it, he put that payment to her account. And when Jenna believed it, he put that payment to her account, two or three of them. If you believe it, God will put that payment to your account. There's enough for everybody in the whole world. The escrow account is pretty big. And it's enough for all the sins of all the world, and God paid for yours. And he loves you so much, he would rather die than live without you. Would you trust him? Would you accept him as your Savior? Let's pray, shall we? Every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, would you right now in the quietness of this moment say something simple like this? Lord, I don't understand it all. Friend, you may have questions, you may have some doubts, but Lord, just say, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. But Lord, I believe you did it for me, and I'm going to trust you as my Savior. I want to know that I'm your child. I want to know that I'm going to heaven when I die. If you've already trusted the Lord, you don't have to do it again. But if you haven't, and you want to be sure, why not right now just say, Lord, I will trust Christ as my Savior. I want to know, and I'm going to ask you right now. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you forward. But will you trust Christ as your Savior? Would you let me know? Would you just slip your hand up very quickly and put it right back down and say, yes, I will trust Christ as my Savior this morning, and I want to know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. Is anyone at all before we close? Just slip it up, put it right back down. Anyone at all? If you're watching by internet, remember this. This applies to you also. God loves you, paid for your sins. There is no other way. Will you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Father, we thank you so much for this time together. Thank you for this good church, good pastor, and these good people. You've blessed them tremendously. It's an honor to have been here, and we thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.